Yes, it is. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful night. Thank you, Lord, that we're not going to have any problems tonight because we've had a prayer of faith, and the enemy cannot interfere in the Jesus name. And we thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do this evening. And I praise you, Father, for being our God. You are in us and we are in you, Lord. You're the vine, we're the branch. Everything flows through you, flows through us. We have life and we have life abundantly. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time because we're going to learn some more about you, Lord, and your spirit and your little family here. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Be with us, guide us, lead us into the things that you'd have us to talk about. And I praise you and I glorify you for all that's accomplished in each and every one that's here tonight in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for getting up Dirk and Paula to join us tonight, Lord of God. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And Joe too. I can't forget Joe. He's up there getting up early too. Thank you, Father. Lord, hallelujah. Amen. I want to do something here right quick if I can. Would y'all allow me to do some confession here for all of us? Okay. Confessing the word is what I'm going to do. And I wanted to do this to, I got this from, what is that? Sword of the Lord. And I just made it into a who I am in Christ type of a deal. Okay. We're going to pray this and I'm going to make everybody a part of it. He said, we are alive with Christ and we are free from the law of sin and death. And we're far from oppression and will not live in fear because we're born of God and the evil one does not touch us. We are holy and without blame before him in love. And we have the mind of Christ. We have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And we have received the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, the eyes of our heart enlightened so that we know the hope of having life in Christ. We have received the power of the Holy Spirit and he can do miraculous things through all of us. And we have authority and power over the enemy in this world. We are merciful. We don't judge others. And we forgive quickly. And as we do this by God's grace, he blesses our life. God supplies all of our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And in all circumstances, we live by faith in God and extinguish all the flaming darts or attacks of the enemy. Glory to God. We are born again, spiritually transformed, renewed, set apart for God's purposes through the living and everlasting word of God. In Christ, we are dead to sin. Our relationship to it is broken, and we're alive to God, living in unbroken fellowship with him. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We are joint heirs with Christ, and we're more than a conqueror through him who loves us. We overcome the enemy of our soul by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We are an ambassador for Christ. We are part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a purchased people. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We belong to him. We are chosen by God, forgiven and justified through Christ. We have a compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And we have been rescued from the domain and the power of darkness and brought in to God's kingdom. We are redeemed from the curse of sin, sickness, and poverty. Our life is rooted in our faith in Christ, and we overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done for us. We are healed and whole in Jesus' mighty name, and we are strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. We humbly submit ourselves to God, and the devil flees from us because we resist him in the name of Jesus. Christ in us, and we live by faith in him and his love for us. We are not ruled by fear because the Holy Spirit lives in us and gives us his power, love, and self-control. And we hold fast to our confession that God's word is true and that by his stripes we are healed. We know that Christ is in us and that greater is he that is in us than all the forces that come against us. He is the vine and we are the branch. And as a branch, we bear his fruit because the vine is imparting to us the fullness of his life. That's everything. That's everything. Glory to God. And we know we love because he has shed abroad his love in our heart through the Holy Spirit. And we know his nature in us is love. His love has gained control over us. For now we can love in whatever circumstance we're placed in. Our God shall supply every need of ours. We are a new creation, created in Christ Jesus with the life of God, the nature of God, and the ability of God in us. God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, and he anoints our head with oil. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Father, that these confessions are true. We walk in them, and we believe it, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory, hallelujah. Boy, that's somebody ought to be shouting there, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Everybody agree? Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
I put in the chat and on the local blog, Merle had this article pop up on his phone that I forget where it was from, over in Europe somewhere, Belgium, I think it was. Guy got chatting with one of these chat bots and messed with his head and he ended up committing suicide because he thought he believed this chatbot to be sentient, and for the sake of saving the world, he killed himself. It was really weird. And so anyway, I just want to pray about that. Father, I pray, Lord, he was married and had two kids too. Father, I pray that none of your elect would be deceived by this artificial intelligence, Lord. Put in their hearts to want to know the truth of your word, Lord. And so that they will not be deceived, Lord. And we cast this down, forbid it, to deceive your elect in any shape or form, Lord. And we cast down these demonic entities, Lord, that your people know and understand, Lord, what it is, Lord, and that they stay far away from it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I hate to say it, so I won't. Yeah, Andrew.
I'd just like to add to that a little bit. Thank you, Lord, that we have authority to tread upon these serpents and scorpions, yep, and over all the power of the enemy. We don't want any false prophecy.
Nope.
Teachings, false doctrines, false direction, Lord. We have the power to tread upon this serpent that attacks the mind. And that man is attacked in his mind, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that that you would be our defender, your Holy Spirit, and everything that you remind us about, Lord, and your word is going to come upon us. You've taught us well, and you're going to remind us when we both need it. We don't need to think about what we're going to say or what we're going to do if we accidentally come in contact with any person. who might be of a wrong spirit. So this is just another same old thing anyway. And we have our Holy Spirit and our Lord and God to save us from any sort of item. And you will be there for us when we most need you. And we thank you for this, Father. Amen.
Two things here that I see. First thing, there is no global warming. How many of you know that? There is no global warming. I don't care how many times they mention it. There ain't no such thing as a global warming. Second thing, AI, demons possessed. So I know that people that have discerning hearts are not going to listen to this garbage. And Father, we thank you that this will be exposed even more than it is now. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Yeah, Rion.
Speaking to myself here as well, but the world we're going into with this chatbots and AI and things, we have to be very, very sure that we know that every single answer we need is in here.
Yep.
And we need to be very, going to become more and more unpopular to refer to this for answers. But we have to be very, very sure in our hearts that we do not need to ask any chatbot or anything for an answer. If God has given us every single thing that we can search for in a search bar or ask a chatbot, every single answer is already in here. But I just need to check my own heart and make sure that I am in agreement with that as well. And because it's very tempting. It's going to be very tempting to start asking questions and get quick answers through. And we're already so desensitized to it by using Google search already. I search on Google for Bible verses and things quickly because, it'll just take too long to search through the Bible. But now the temptation is then to take it even one step further and ask the AI, what do they think maybe about things? And we shouldn't. Yeah, no, we have the Holy Spirit and we've got the Word and all the answers are in there. We do not need to type it into any chatbot.
No. All right, anyone else?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's going to start telling people not to just kill themselves, but also to start destroying Bibles very soon.
Well, what I was going to say earlier is this, Rion, if you look on some of the websites, they're already trying to weaken the Bible by saying that the Catholics left out a lot of the Bible books and that that the Bible books need to be put back in the Bible. Well, the Bible books they're talking about is garbage. It's garbage. All they want to do is dilute the Word of God. That's their primary job is to dilute the Word of God. David sent in an explanation as to why the book Bible that we have now is the Bible. It stayed up one day and they pulled it off while all this other garbage stays up for days and days and days. So we know what's fixing to happen. And Lord, we just praise you, we glorify you that we are not going to be deceived by this illusion coming up. Yeah, they did. Yeah, Andrew.
I remember reading in the book of Revelation when the Lord arrested me about the booklets and the book. So, why does it that the Old Testament goes from Genesis all the way through Abraham to Malachi. And there's a history there for the 400 years that are missing from Matthew. And then you get our book just to Revelation. But the rest of the history that's not right is in there in those booklets. But we have to be in the booklet, which is the book of life in Revelation 20 there. So, we have to see the examples today from the past. So not that I want to take away from what Michael said, but you have to see properly, If they want to start adding something to God's word, then there's the last page of the Bible in the Revelation, okay? And that's all I'm going to stress there. And there is the booklets, and they want to, you know yourselves that they want to throw us off from what it says in Daniel. You know, they want to change times and seasons, and they want to change history, and they want people to believe in things that they want to call things that are good evil, and those that are evil good. And I think that's somewhere even written in Isaiah in those exact same words. I fail to remember these chapter numbers and verse numbers, but I know it's written in the Old Testament where they call evil good and good evil. So you can do a word search on that, I guess. I still have to like really look hard for it because I don't know how to work my word search. Anyways, I got a concordance, so that can lead me to somewhere. So praise God and glory to God. And we need to see the history today. You know, we were just listening to something, me and Ben, where David is comparing on what might happen in the future in one of these studies that he did as to what happened during World War II with the Jews. And it's a little bit where you can take that portion and put it in the portion near the end. So, but it's always a portion that's Mystery Babylon.
Yep.
The mother of all harlots and abominations. And just like the first Babylon, and we all been told where Babylon is and how they tried to flee to Egypt and how there was a second power there, and they tried to, you know, to beat that first power, and it don't matter what power it is. We belong to our Lord's kingdom, and it's not of this world. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And the world is a spirit, you know, because it said so right there in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. So is man a spirit, but we got the Spirit of God. So. And they have to be spiritually judged. They have to be called and called and faithful and chosen. And they have to be called. And as it says also in Romans 8, called and justified. And we have a desire to glorify God, but it's all in His hands. He has to make it happen through us. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
I had to just stop and think about this a second. I mean, it's pretty cool. Merle heard bits and pieces of the, I guess it was two of the Bible studies that David was talking about, the AI and it being demonic. And I reiterated a little bit of these articles that David was reading that Merle might not have heard, but anyway, so the fact that that popped up on his phone and it's from a foreign news source is pretty amazing. That's the Lord. And he comes over to me and shows me his phone, his eyes as big as saucers. And it was so cool when I stop and think about it now, you know, it's like, and he said, yeah, they're going to take over the world or something like that. And I said, where'd you hear that? He says, well, David said that. But anyway, I mean, really, that's, you know, the world is Satan's kingdom, and it's demonic. All everyone in the world, that you're either Christ or Antichrist. You're either, you know, led by the Spirit of God, or you're led by demonic spirits, you know. So anyway, so I just wanted to share that with y'all, and I just praise and thank the Lord that Lord, you're getting Merle's attention, and knowing that and seeing that that some of this stuff isn't you know, that what David shares is not, you know, off the wall and crazy, and it's real. And I just thank you, Lord, for getting his attention and letting me know that that David is warning of things that a lot of people aren't warning about, and letting your people know, Lord, of the dangers of these things. We praise you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. He probably mentioned this as well, but most of the guys you see on the white hats, the talking heads, are almost all of them, seems like, are New Agers. Almost all of them are New Agers. And they purport to follow Christ, but then they start talking about Gaia or whatever this thing is called. And but anyway, just be very careful. It's like Andrew was talking about, and Breon was talking about. Be very careful what you do with these bots, because they're demon-possessed. Some of them are. And how many of you know that demons can manipulate your mind if you're not careful? And they can. Just like they did that poor kid there. All right. Anybody else? Yeah. That's... What are y'all talking about? All right, tonight. Tonight it's, how do we pray for someone to receive the Holy Ghost? Yeah, Lana.
Hey, Michael. Hey, everybody. Sorry, I'm a little late to the
That's
party.
Okay.
I have a prayer request.
Okay.
I was talking to my neighbor, Barry, and he told me that he was in a big accident when he went down to Florida a week ago. He was switching lanes and some young driver in a fast car cut him off at going about 75 miles an hour and destroyed his truck, or at least the front of his truck. And so his truck is stuck down in South Florida to get fixed because Ford is waiting on parts. But since there was no injuries in the accident, the police took a report from each of them, and the young man's report is totally contrary to Barry's. And Barry is afraid, he's concerned that the young man might try to turn it on. Well, he'll probably will, since his story is contrary to what happened with Barry. And Barry's an older man. He's been driving for many years. He drives a school bus, and he has a CDL. And a clean record. He's also a Christian. He told me as much today. I don't know if he's actually a believer, but he's concerned that the whole thing might turn around and be his fault, even though from what he told me, the young man was going way too fast to get around him and another bus, and lost control of the vehicle when Barry hit him, because he was gone so fast. So anyways, I told him I'd pray. So I just want to lift him up. Father God, you hear Barry's concerns and his dilemma. Father God, he's stuck without his vehicle. The insurance only covers so much of the rental. He doesn't want to be left liable for this ugly accident that was caused by this young man who was reckless in his driving, Father God. And so, Father God, I just lift him up to your throne of grace, and I ask that you have mercy on him and be the judge of this situation, Father God, and bring justice where justice is due, Father God. And I also, Father God, bind up spirits of trauma. Barry told me that it took him days just to stop shaking from what had happened, Father God. And I know that these things, as they say, wear off naturally, but I know, Father God, you are our comfort. You are our protector, and you are the Father, that, and you want us to run to you. And Father God, we thank you that you are drawing Barry toward you through this situation and whatever else you are going to do in this situation, Father God, and that you are opening his eyes and his wife's eyes, for your power, your superiority here, and your sovereignty, Father God, that you can do all things, and that you have answers prepared before we even ask, Father God. So I ask you, Father God, to extend your mercy toward this household and this family in order to draw them closer to you, Father God, and let your will be done and your justice prevail. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Lana. We believe it is so, Lord, to bring us about in a fair way for everybody. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Rion.
I have a testimony to share. Last night, I took the family for dinner. Now, our nearest restaurant here is about 15 minutes away, and we were tired of going there, so we wanted to go to a nicer restaurant. So it's an hour's drive from here to get to the next one. It's a bit like southwest from here. But the thing within Tasmania is that, I mean, you'll see, I think Fiona and Lana probably noticed it as well when they were here, is that every morning the roads are absolutely littered with roadkill. There are just so many animals and things. It's quite bad. Because there's just all these small little wallabies and things that just run across the road and they don't jump away. In any case, we drive our van and we don't have the big metal bars in front like everybody else has and everything. But to kind of have this dinner, we'll get there before it's dark. But we never drive or try not to drive at night here for that very reason. And we asked the Lord if we can go have this dinner. And we went and we prayed and we said, Lord, clear the road for us. And as he always does, whenever we drive, especially when you're coming back and it's the animals would jump in front of the car and so forth. And we've had one animal the whole 5 years that we've been here run in front of the car. And I think we told that before and we just didn't know what happened to it. Well, it was okay, but I don't know how. We just went.
I think it was translated.
It must have been translated. But last night,
we saw it come into the car and then it didn't hit the car and then we saw the whole body jump away. But it was like,
I was like,
waiting for impact.
This is going to happen. It was a big one. That was long ago. Yeah. That was long ago. But last night, I just want to say thank you to the Lord. It's such an awesome testimony. We pray, we clear the road. We did not see one animal. We saw one. As we were praying, we saw one jump away from the road. And then for an hour, and this is driving through bush, and it's just for an hour long, it was just bush and windy roads. And we didn't see one animal. So just want to say thank you to the Lord. It's so awesome.
Praise God. Sounds like a time for pot blessing to me. I don't know. I'm just saying.
easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Feed lots of people.
Absolutely. You can feed a bunch of folks. Judy, did you want to pray?
Yeah, Michael, I did. I wanted to add it on to Mana's prayer for that accident, that thing that happened down there in Florida. Father, I just lift up the young man who was the other driver and the whole scenario too. Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord, that no one was hurt, that there was no bodily injury to this accident, Lord. That was your grace. And Lord, we don't know anything about this young man, but you do. And I pray, Father, for your mercy on him. I pray, Lord, also, Lord, that you'll bring conviction to his heart of anything that he falsified in that report because of the reasons he, you know, if they didn't agree, Lord, obviously there's a problem there, but you see everything. And we just come against the works of witchcraft and cursing and lying and deceitfulness and fears. And all these things that are in operation here, Father, and that the insurance companies are the investigation, the insurance companies, all these things, Father, your wisdom would be there. And that, you would, as Lana prayed, that you would take care of this. But, you know, there's a lot of things that have to get involved with the police report, insurance companies, their reports, their investigations, and all these things. Lord, we just pray that all the truth would come out. But I pray for this young man, Lord, that you would convict his heart to be honest and draw him to Jesus, Father, if he's not saved. And help this young man to really see that he needs to slow down. When we're young and get behind the wheel, Lord, and it's such a independent, free thing and speed and all of these things and the temptations, Lord. Lord, I just pray your protection on his life. I thank you, Lord, that you will keep him unto the day of salvation. You'll preserve him. And I pray for his family as well, Lord, that they come into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for blessing all of us, Lord, when we're on the roads and our comings and our goings, Lord, for your angels are always guarding us in all of our ways. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give Barry that revelation too, Lord, that the angels were there guarding him and that you'll give him peace, Lord, that, you're going to take care of the situation for him. We just bless Barry, Lord, with your peace and comfort and anointing and full assurance of faith, Father, as you draw Barry and his wife to you, God, as well. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, hallelujah. Go ahead, Isaac.
Okay. I have two testimonies real quick. I want to thank the Lord. Y'all know that whole rabbit situation I went through, maybe, or we went through a few weeks ago. We had another rabbit give birth to a kit of rabbits. So, and they're doing awesome. They are just so healthy and moving around, and it's really cool. So I want to thank the Lord for that. Also, Israel, can Israel give a testimony of something that happened to him that was really cool?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to let him tell what happened.
All right.
I had a dream. I had a dream, and after my dream, I woke up and Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus
called me that I to help mommy, to help mommy obey her and be good.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Before that, he said my name 4 times.
Awesome. Israel is grace. Glory to God. Amen, brother. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing it. Is that it?
Thank you. You're
welcome. Awesome. Be sure and tell us the next time he shows up too.
Yeah, that was super cool. He told me that he heard the Lord call his name. I said, "Would you hear it in your? Did you feel it in your heart? Did it land in your mind, or did you hear it through your ears?" He goes, "Well, Dada, I feel like I felt it in my heart and heard it from my ears." I said, "Well, even better." And
absolutely.
I don't know, man. Just super cool. Want to thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for even talking to the young ones. We praise you for it, Father. Lord, hallelujah. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Lord, fill him up with your Holy Spirit. Fill up Israel with your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, hallelujah. Okay, anyone else? Let's see, what is today? Tuesday night, we talked about, what was it? Hindrances to the Holy Spirit. And we talked a little bit about all of that. But we didn't get into one aspect of that we wanted to get into, and that was, how do you pray for someone to receive the Holy Spirit? All right. Anybody, when is it next time I ask Jesus to come tell our kid? Okay. Yes, Lord. Tell all our kids. Jesus' name. Tell us too, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody want to tell me, I want to receive the Holy Spirit. How do I go about doing that? But boy, I'm in trouble, aren't I? Come on now, I know y'all have prayed for people to receive the Holy Spirit. Come on. Come on, Andrew. Never mind, Marilyn's going to do it.
Well, I can just give a testimony. You know, we have a neighbor that's a believer, and we introduced her to UBM years ago. But she didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but she did listen to a lot of the Bible studies. And, you know, I remember a couple of times, you know, I would talk to her about the Holy Spirit, and even just, if she would show up, sometimes I'd just see her briefly, and I'd pray for her, and I'd be praying, and, oh Lord, just fill her up with the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, it took 13 years, but this last fall, I knew God was really dealing with her because she had been through some really traumatic times. She'd lost her mother-in-law and her father-in-law to COVID in a matter of a week's time. And she's just really going through a lot of stuff. So one day she called me and she said, I just have to come see you. I just have to come see you. And so she did. And I just brought her up to, you know, the bedroom, which is where I pray, and prayed some deliverance over her because, you know, she was well aware that she had been really hindered in her life through rejection and unforgiveness and jealousy. And so I mean, it all just happened so fast. I mean, she just called me and she was here within a couple of minutes. And I didn't have time to think about it or anything, which probably a good deal. And so I, you know, prayed, renounced those things, commanded those things to leave her. And then I said, do you want to be filled up with the Holy Spirit? And she said, yes. And boy, she was so ready. She was just so ready. And I just prayed a simple prayer for the Lord to fill her up and told her that she was going to be speaking in tongues. And, you know, within 24 hours, she had a prayer language.
Praise God.
And, but it wasn't anything I did. It was just, yeah. It was kind of like getting out of the way and letting the Holy Spirit take over.
Good testimony. Great testimony. Anybody else? How many of you here, Bob? Brought someone to Christ. And then gave them the whole message, which is, of course, the salvation and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's kind of the way I always did it is now that you've received Christ in your life. There is another aspect to this salvation, and that is the power of God to help you overcome this fleshly life and this world, and that is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Would you like to receive the Holy Spirit and the power and the overcoming power that comes with it? Of course. Of course I would. Yeah, you put it that way, you know. They say, okay, raise your arms like a funnel. I always tell them, raise you like a funnel because God's fixing to fill you up and you're fixing to speak in a different language. And most of the time they will. And just go ahead. A lot of times, like Marilyn says, it's liable to be a day or two later. It's liable to be a week later, but they're going to get it because they believe. All right, Andrew.
I just want to bring up a certain verse here in Ephesians. Sure. Sort of parallels exactly what we're speaking about here. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And we'll probably go into 14 too. But it says there, in whom ye also, having heard the word of truth, of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise. So you see, it is a promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto redemption, of the possession unto the praise of his glory. So this Holy Spirit is sealed for us. It's given to us. It's a promise for us. You know, it says in Luke 1:37 that no word of God shall be void of power. And there's power in the word of God. And there's power in the Holy Spirit. And there's power in the blood of the Lamb. And this is a redemption thing also. Redemption is mentioned in these verses here. So there's no problem for this. The last word in 14 is glory. And the glory is all the stuff you can get from God, because he wants to share his glory with us. And it's all we look for that we already have. So I just keep thinking of that verse over there. It is finished, you know, and it is done. I think it's John 19:30 or something like that. And well, that's it right there. You know, all things are for us. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise, which is our earnest. And of course, you know, earnest, you could look up in the dictionary, but I did look up the word church in my dictionary once, and they didn't have the right definition. So the earnest of the Spirit, you know, is mentioned in some places, and that's the Spirit of truth. And I think the earnest of the Spirit is faith, because that's one of the fruits, and love. So faith that worketh love, obey him and believe. So it's a promise. And you've had other promises answered. And so this is just another promise. Praise and glory to God.
Amen.
I did a little bit of homework on it, and that's where he led me. I don't know, even know how I got that verse, but I have another verse in 4 and 8, but I didn't check it out first yet, so I'm not going to go there.
All praise right, God. Thank you. All right, Lana.
Hey, I wanted to share something about how I received the Holy Spirit. I know I've shared before that it was a quick one for me when I was a young teenager, but leading up to that, my sister had received the Holy Spirit one night after church service, when I think we had a visiting guest, and they just invited for those that were interested to come to a separate room and pray. And my sister was baptized, my sister that's right after me. And man, I wanted it so bad. And so between then and 4 months, I just spent every moment I could begging the Lord to give me the Holy Spirit. And I tried everything. I promised I would serve him. I remembered that the Americans had something about giving your heart to the Lord. So that's what I prayed to the Lord, and something about, you know, dedicating my life to the Lord. So I used that on him too. Nothing. And I mean, I was almost 15 at that time. And we didn't even have this belief or understanding about, you know, the sinner's prayer or giving your heart to the Lord. We just went to church and we figured we were Christians, right? And then it was Pentecost Sunday, and they invited those that were seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, to stay after the service and go to praying. And we started praying, and I did the same thing I always did, was beg the Lord and beg the Lord. And I think one of the elders got up a few minutes into the prayer and said, "You all just need to start thanking the Lord, because you have it." And as soon as my language went from begging to thanking, I was speaking in tongues. And that was it. There was nothing I could have done, because I did it for 4 months. I tried to keep up with my sister. She had it and I did it. And there's nothing I could have done. No amount of promises to the Lord gave it to me. But as soon as I believed and I thanked him, it flowed out of me like living water. So praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. That shows that's a good lesson there. Thank you, Lana. All right. Anyone else? Anybody got any questions? Yeah, Rayon. Or Claire.
The other one. I'm just so blessed by these testimonies. For all the, when I say all, it's only three really people that we've been able to help in receiving the Holy Spirit. Like, all of them received it immediately when we prayed, and it wasn't because of us. It was just they knew. I mean, the one lady drove like 4 hours to get to our house because she had heard about the Holy Spirit from us, and she didn't know that part of the gospel. She was a new Christian, and she'd been brought to Christ in the baptism tradition, Baptist tradition. See, I don't even know these things. And she realized there was something more, and she came and she wanted deliverance and she wanted the Holy Spirit, and she got them, you know, because she wanted them. And then our dear brother Ed, like, he came out of the water and he had a word already. That's how quick it happened, because he already knew what to expect before he went into the water, because the Lord had worked so well in his heart in sowing the seeds. So it was so good. And when his mom came, she'd been baptized years ago and had always wanted the Holy Spirit but didn't know. And Andrea and I got to praying for her. Just really beautiful, simple prayer, just humbling ourselves and praying for her. And she just started having these utterances, and she was so scared by them, but she didn't stop. And that was so wonderful.
Yeah, she was very brave.
She was very brave, because she's not equally yoked yet. So, you know, that was, beautiful, beautiful, humbling thing to see people receiving more power and more truth.
I think it's that verse that Andrew wrote, something that stood out for me, is that it goes hand in hand with deliverance, right? Because we're not allowed to deliver unless we're willing to be filled afterwards. Mm-hmm. And we talk so much about demon possession, but then that verse talks about God's Spirit wants to possess us instead. We want to be possessed with the Holy Spirit. It has a negative connotation most of the time, but that spirit, that verse talked about being possessed by the Holy Spirit, right? And it's almost like a non-negotiable. We won't do deliverance unless they understand that they have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that it is for today and for now. Otherwise, we believe that house empty and they'll be worse off. So, it's a must, but it comes at, I suppose it just comes at different timings. If you look at the Bible, it says some get it before baptism, some after. But for them, it was normal. They just said, oh, have you received the Holy Spirit? Oh, you haven't? Okay, come on, let's pray and receive it. And they said, that just shows to me it's a belief. It's a faith, and knowing that we pray, you receive it. It's not a maybe you will or maybe you won't. So it doesn't have to be complicated. It's very, very simple, because it's only about, let's do it, you receive it, and then thank it. Like, that's Lana's testimony is so awesome, because it's about, it has already been poured out. That gift is already there. It's just believing it, and then it happens. Then it's us. Then it's just you stepping away from yourself and letting God do the work, and not be scared or afraid or doubting. Just believe it. Yeah. So it's much less pray, how to pray, and it's more believing than what it is how to pray for to receive the Holy Spirit, in my opinion. Yeah.
Amen. If you all you have to do is believe, right? He said, ask and believe. That's it. Just believe it. He's already filled you up. Now just go speaking in tongues. One thing that I used to do that I don't do it anymore, I used to try to prime people. Anybody ever try to prime somebody to speak in tongues by speaking in tongues yourself? Well, I that's how I learned it. I've seen the apostate church out there do that. You know, go up there and slap on them, and speak in tongues around them and say this, you know, and all this, and beat them on the back and all of this stuff. I saw it. I've seen it do it in church. First time I saw it, I asked a friend of mine, I said, what are they doing? This is a great big guy they were doing it to. I said, man, he fixed manifest here. It's going to be bad. They were doing this to him. One of them was slapping him on the back. Come on, speak it out. Another one say, hold it in, speak it out, hold it in. All this stuff, you know. I said, what are they doing, Larry? He laughed. He said, that's just the Church of God way, man. I said, that's just what they do. I said, oh, okay. anybody ever get the baptism of the Holy Spirit? He said, oh, yeah, they will when they get off by themselves. Get away from this bunch. But anyway, I quit doing that because God don't need my help. He doesn't need our help to get somebody to speaking in tongues. He doesn't need our help. John Lake talked about a lady, I forget her name, I think it was Griffin, something like that. They called it the Griffin tongues because she would prime them up and they would speak curling. They would speak like she spoke, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was just them and the man and manifesting themselves, but that lady was teaching them how to speak. And they called it the Griffin tongue. So the only thing that we need to do is just pray and ask God to do it, and he'll do it. To receive the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And know that it's being done. Just like Lana was talking about. As soon as you believe it, it's going to happen. God's not a liar. It will happen. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
Well, isn't it like anything we receive from our Father? It's like, you know, he wants to give us good things. It's like he sees the sincerity of a person's heart, and it's like a simple request, you know, and just come, you know, whoever. What's that scripture? I think it's in Hebrews that, you know, those who come to him must believe that he exists and he's a rewarder of those who seek him. It's like, Lord, it's like I believe what I'm hearing and I want that. It's just that sincerity of heart. Lord, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to speak to you in tongues like I hear other people. And, you know, and yeah, there's just a lot of religious stuff, I think, that gets in the way. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
Religiosity.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm just learning more. It's like, it's just be a simple faith and knowing that Jesus loves me and that he wants me to have this. And it says so in his word. So ask, you know, ask, seek and knock and all those things. So it's just, our Father is just so merciful and gracious and, you know, he sees the heart and what's going on there. And he sees all the other religiosity and all the other stuff going on to try to make somebody get something, you know, or the begging or whatever. And he knows how to work, I guess. It's just a matter of just a simple, thank you, Father. I want it and I'm going to have it because you gave it to me. Amen.
All right. Any questions? Any more answers? Okay. We're going to switch gears here a little bit. Go into the weapons of our warfare. And what was that? That was 1 Corinthians. Just a minute. Anybody remember it was 1 Corinthians something? Angelica, you got that verse that you quoted?
The weapons of our warfare.
Yeah. That was.
But 2 Corinthians 10:4.
3 and 6.
Yeah, that's it. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God, but the casting down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Thank you, Barbara. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds. Okay, the question was, what are the weapons of our warfare? And there's quite a number of them. And you don't have to name them all. Just pick one. Anybody want to venture? Okay, Missy.
The sword of the spirit, the word.
It's what?
The word, the sword of the spirit.
The word, the fruit of the spirit.
The sword of the spirit.
Oh, the sword of the spirit. Okay, I got you. Yeah, there you go. The word. That's the first weapon we got, isn't it? That's the one we always rely on, is the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen. Lord of God. And Ephesians 6:17 says, and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And don't forget Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the what? Word of God. All right. That's a good one. Anybody else got to want to add to that? Yeah, Rion.
Well, I look at how he started that, how the Lord starts that in 10 verse 1. He says, I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. So he sets the scene of, as this is maybe how we should be doing that warfare. It's not a big show all fleshly, because he talks a lot against the flesh there. He says we have to be meek and gentle, just like Jesus was, and lowly, absent of good courage, he says, towards you. I beseech you that I may not, when present, show courage with the confidence wherewith I count to be bold against some who count of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So it's not a warfare of the flesh. It's not a warfare of show and drama and a show of strength or power or nothing. In fact, after that, he goes on and he says, it's about bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being readiness to avenge all disobedience. So that warfare has got a lot. It's a lot more pointing to us than what it is pointing to someone else. It's about, that's how we bring the warfare is to bring down the flesh and being meek, gentle, turning the other cheek, and bringing those thoughts into captivity and to be obedient to Christ. And that's why we, like, for instance, when you praise and worship the Lord in the middle of a trial, that's warfare. That's how you fight the enemy, because that's in the middle of it, because there's nothing more, I suppose, it just looks so meek when you're in the middle of a trial suffering and you're praising the Lord to the flesh and to the world. That just looks very weak. No, you should be doing something. You should be going to do something, or you should be making a scene, or you should be fighting. And we go, no, we just, we use those praise and worship as weapons, like Angelica said there. That's it.
Amen. That's right. Excuse me. Go ahead, Joe.
I think before you can start with your weapon of warfare, you have to know your authority in Christ to bring everything to start your war. Okay.
Okay. Who are we in Christ then? Start us off.
I'm a new creation. Christ gave everything new to me. He take all my sin and my iniquities and start as a new creation.
Holy unto Christ, right?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Bye-bye. Anyone else? The weapons of our warfare. Come on, man. Yeah, Missy.
Binding and loosing.
Okay, that's the word, right?
Yeah, I remember, too, also that David was saying that, you know, our, even just our response to something, like something that somebody said that, you know, there's, you know, demons operating behind it or whatever. Our response can just be binding the enemy. And it doesn't have to be anything like real, quote unquote, spiritual. Sometimes just not even, okay, I had experience once. I had an experience where someone out of nowhere just like said something to me, just kind of mean, you know, and I didn't know where it came from. And the fact that I did not respond, that person looked at me and their countenance changed. They had this angry look on their face, but then the fact that I didn't see anything bound that spirit. So.
Okay. Where is that? Binding and loosing.
Where is
it? I know
it?
Where it is. Yeah, you know
is
where it is.
In the word? I don't know exactly where it's in the word. It's in one of the Gospels, a couple of the Gospels. I think Matthew.
Let's try the first one.
Matthew.
Matthew 18:15.
Yeah.
Or 18. Yeah. Did I take you? Did I take you? Go ahead, Andrew.
It's also in the Philadelphia church. Philadelphia, the love church, the brotherly love church. The keys of David. Who openeth and none shall shut. And who shutteth and none open. I know thy works. Lo, I have set before you an open door, which none can shut it. And that thou hast a little power, and didst keep my word. Yeah. So, it's right in the Philadelphia church there. Am I?
So, yeah. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Angelica.
I had a little something, just kind of, I guess, for somewhat like of a bigger perspective, how just reading the word over and over kind of builds like an imagination. So, you know, we were translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And so we were translated into a new kingdom and we're now citizens of this new kingdom. And we have to learn, just like if any citizen, you know, any person from another country would come to America, they have to learn how to become an American. And I think they give them a class and they learn the laws or whatever. That's like that in the kingdom. And the Bible refers to a lot of scripture refers to us as soldiers. It says, you know, so we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus is our, he is the general, you know, and, you know, we have to defend our position in our kingdom. And, you know, the scripture that you shared, it says that, you know, that the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Mm-hmm. So we're fighting a spiritual battle that we can't see, but we're in the flesh. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. And so we're defending our position in the kingdom and we're taking back the captives of war from the kingdom of darkness. And the Bible says we already won. We already have the victory because they've already been despoiled. So it's like it's a free for all. We're supposed to be despoiling the kingdom of darkness, but we have to do it according to the manner in which the Bible says is permitted. And, you know, our battle's in the spirit and we have to learn how to use the weapons of our warfare, in order to defend ourselves, against the wiles of the devil. And, we have to learn all of those weapons and, we have to you know, there's a lot of weapons, you know, I think prayer, fasting, you know, I the gifts of the spirit is like the intelligence of the operation, you know, they're all weapons against the enemy's kingdom. Definitely the word, our confessions, you know, our good confessions. And I think the main thing that really helps us to win the battle is learning all of these weapons, but learning how to use them in the way that the Lord would have us to use them. Because you know how the Bible says, that, you know, we have, if we're going to contend in the games, we have to contend, you know, in the right way, basically, and I'm paraphrasing. And, so we have to learn how to use those weapons. Otherwise we'll be like a rogue soldier, you know, using those weapons for the lust of the flesh and become a worker of iniquity. And so those is my just little take on that whole thing.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, there's a lot of ways. Word of God. All right, Dirk, Paula.
Wonderful. It's one of the spirits which, also the gospel, getting out the gospel, preaching the gospel. And, praise is a big one. Giving glory to the Lord. And I think, but first of all, it starts with prayer. I think prayer is our biggest weapon, intercession. They're looking at Ephesians 6, where he lists to be clothed with the full armor of God. Then after listing all the armor pieces, he says, and with all prayer and supplication, praying at all season in the spirit, watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So after you're clothed with the armor, to immediately go into prayer. And, I heard, Derek Prince once said, and this blessed me much, a twist on where, well, one is, you tend to be in defense mode when you're clothed with the armor. You think constantly to defend. But when we enter into prayer, we go into offense. Where Jesus said to Peter, this is Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. They actually meant that when we go into the attack mode, the gates of hell will not prevail against that, and we plunder the enemy. We plunder that gates will not hold against our warfare in the spirit. And in that way, we take back what the enemy has stolen from us. So for me, prayer is a very big weapon that we have. And I just want to share for us in Acts, there's a very nice example of this. It's in Acts 12. I want to read that for us there, where Peter was imprisoned. It says there, just want to get that verse. It's in verse 5. Say from verse 4. And when he had taken, verse 3. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded and seized Peter also. And those were the days of unleavened bread. And he had taken him and put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to guard him, tending after the Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in the prison, but prayer was made earnestly of the church unto God for him. And after that is then the amazing testimony of how the angel delivered Peter from prison. And, so I would say for me, that's prayer is a big weapon of warfare for us.
Amen. You said prayer?
Prayer, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes, it is. Amen. Prayer is great. Amen. Okay, anyone else? What about the name of Jesus? That's a weapon. Go ahead, Judith. I'm just going to throw some out there.
I'm sorry, Michael, what did you say? The what of Jesus?
I said the name of Jesus.
The name, yes. Amen. His name.
The name that's above all.
Use it a lot. Use it a lot. Use it a lot. Something that somebody shared with me one time, when you look at the armor of God that's on, if you were to dress that person up in the armor and you were to visualize it, it's covering everything but the person's back, you know? And that is where I think a lot of the prayer comes in too, that we're covering the other guy's back because we can't see behind us, but other people can see. It's like we're covering each other in prayer, and that's really covering each other and looking out for, you know, what we can't see that others are seeing and discerning. I think, you know, obviously the Holy Ghost too, the gifts be in operation, the ministry of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because that's part of our warfare too, is when those gifts are in operation, how to pray for other people through the dreams, the revelations, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, miracles, the faith, the discerning of spirits, tongues and interpretation of tongues, the prophetic. I'm not sure if I missed any, the miracles, working in miracles and the healings and all that. So it's just covering each other in prayer and helping each other edify, you know, encouraging the body. It's all part of the weaponry because the enemy's, what our experience, what we may have gone through is going to help and benefit somebody else. Our testimonies are part of that warfare too, because it's an edifice, you know, helps encourage somebody else when they're going through something. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, it is. Go ahead, Rhea.
Another weapon we have is praying in the spirit. So our prayer language, we spoke about that earlier. I think that's powerful weapon. And the other weapon we have is our imaginations. It says we must cast down evil imaginations, but we then have to use the imaginations God gave us to call the things that are not as though they were. And that's a weapon we have, because, and then speak in agreement with that imagination, because our words, they are spirit and they are life, like Jesus said. So we can bring those things into existence for what we're imagining. And as long as we're agreeing with the word, so I think it's combining all of those together. It's like the promises of the word, speaking them, imagining them, calling the things that are not as though they were. That's does a lot of damage to the enemy's camp.
Maybe it is. Praise God. Go ahead, Malcolm. I'm trying to do two things at one time, so forgive me. You have to.
Yeah, I'm trying to do a couple of things too. I've got to
do that, Malcolm. You need to go ahead and focus on one.
All right. I'm trying to get up. I've got to get back up on the roof.
Oh my goodness.
I'm just doing my life. Yeah, but Bluetooth might reach up there, so I might see if I can. Anyway, if you call on me a little later, I might not want to roll down the roof to talk, but. but another weapon, it's not listed in Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians 6, is that where the weapons of our warfare are listed? But that is music. And in the Old Testament, as you know, the praisers went out first in many of their battles. And they had cymbals and they had they probably had shofars, you know, and all those kinds of things. So I guess one New Testament example would be Paul and Silas in the prison, who were singing and everybody was listening. And eventually all the atoms started listening and a little earthquake happened.
Okay. Oh my. Anybody else? Yeah, Judy.
Just to kind of say what I put in the chat is the songs, the hymns and spiritual songs are weapons. Praise. And that's kind of what, that's what, well, isn't praise us? Yeah, that's praise and singing praises, you know, praising and exalting the name of the Lord, how great he is. But, you know, just the songs, you know, singing and loving on the Lord and worshiping him and through songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And those are weapons. It's kind of like what Malcolm was referring to. And, but it's all towards, you know, just our focus, you know, keeping our eyes single and focused on the Lord. And, even though there's a storm going on, he can keep us in perfect peace if we keep our focus on him and not let the enemy move us. You know, that's part of his tactics, is trying to get us to be moved by the things we feel, see, hear, imagine, the thoughts that they're firing into our head and all those things. But if we can, in like, you know, I think it was Rian, just keep casting all that down, casting down those things in our mind, and you got to quote the word, and you have to fight with the spirit that way, in offense and in defense that way. But something else I do sometimes is we'll just read the Bible out loud, read the Psalms out loud.
Yeah.
So, amen.
That will put peace in you, won't it? When you start reading the Word of God, if you've got a bunch of turmoil going on, sit down, get in the Word of God, and watch what happens. This praise thing, let's get a little deeper into that praise thing. You remember in Acts 16:25-26, when Paul and Silas, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. They must have been shouting it out. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Oh, my goodness. And so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. Everybody that was bound was set free, glory to God. And everyone's hands were loosed. Now, you can't tell me there's not any power in praise, can you? Because the Lord was telling us about that. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. When the devil seems to be just going crazy with you, start praising the Lord. Watch what happens. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Dirk and Paula.
What just came to me as well is, I think one of the biggest things is relationship. You know, who is it that goes to the Lord in prayer? Who is it who sings to the Lord? What is your relationship with God? Do you have his ear and his heart? Are you like Esther, or are you someone else that when you just barge in, they're going to cut off your head? So I think that's where it all starts. So what is the relationship? And then when you wield the weapons, it makes a difference. So it starts in our closet every day, you and God alone. And I actually spent some time now in Esther as well. And the name Hadassah means myrtle. And if you go and look at the myrtle tree, they use it, or they used to use it in the Feast of Tabernacles as well, the Feast of Booths. And it's a sweet fragrance. So just, yeah, it's all prayer and being hidden in him first before you can do anything else.
Amen. That should be the first thing we do in the mornings, if you could get up early enough, you know. You need to try to sacrifice your time for God. And if you sacrifice your time with God, look, I'm still working on it. But if we sacrifice, how many times have you sacrificed that time and God just blessed you? Good gracious. And he'll do it every day. If you'll do it every day, it's a discipline thing. And sometimes we get distracted, but we can't allow that anymore. We're too close to what's fixing to happen here. And I'm talking to myself too. Look, today I was outside and we were doing some working out there, and the Lord told me to get off track and get back in the house and get in the Word again. And I had to just quit, shut it down, and said, y'all got it. I got to go. And that's what he wants. He wants obedience. He wants nothing else to distract us. Nothing else. Yeah, Andrew. What's the most important thing? Is God in our life. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Well, I was just mentioning to Ben here when you were talking about the jailer there, there was one other thing you didn't include, and that was that jailer got saved. He asked them right after the songs and the worship, what must I do to be saved? And so that was perhaps one of the wonderful things that made all the angels of heaven rejoice. See, that praise brought on another praise in heaven for all the angels because someone got saved. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen.
So it makes you kind of wonder, like, what's going on when we're praising? what's happening in the spiritual realm? I forget where it is, but sometimes we just sometimes think that we're defeated. You know, I like the verse where it says, He will not leave you orphan. And there was an Old Testament prophet that opened the eyes of his servant to show, and there was just two of them, and they were facing an army. And the prophet opened his servant's eyes and he said, show him what's on our side. And there was a vast army of angels that were on their side. I wish I could remember where that was in the Old Testament anyway. So I'd like to read around it. You know, to see what's it, if it's implying for the end times for us, you know, praise God.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? There's more. There's a lot more. Oh, Marilyn, there you are.
Oh, I know one thing that really helps me a lot is meditating on confessing and trusting in the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I really like to think about that. That, you know, that gets me just pumped up that it's the power of my Father's grace upon me, because in my own self, I can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Jesus, as it says there, the first chapter of John, he's all grace and truth. So the power of his grace resting on me and on all of us.
All right, anyone else? What's the most powerful one we got? Angela's got the answer. Go ahead, girl.
No, I don't. I was just going to share real quick, just back to the prayer thing and basically a lot, you know, just an assessment of what, you know, after we use these weapons, what the outcome, what the purpose is, and just a couple of thoughts. You know, the prayer study, the study on the prayer of Our Father who art in heaven, Luke, that Brian shared. I think that night or the night afterwards, I studied that and I kind of noticed some things or whatever, you know, concerning myself. And the temptations one was a really big one that I really felt was hindering me daily, where I couldn't really just get my bearings going, because I was already being, you know, sidewinded, you know, with some tax and things like that, that I just was not really overcoming. And so anyway, I had went through that whole process and kind of made it my own and prayed to the Lord. And after I had prayed that, you know, after I had studied that and prayed to the Lord and asked for forgiveness and all that, I asked the Lord for a faith at random. And the first, you know, and I just got a blank page, was, you know, which usually I believe represents like being clean, which was the main thing, because that was what we discussed. We talked about making sure that we are right before the Lord before we go to him in prayer. And then I asked for another word, and I got Luke 1:9. And it's, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And my finger landed on the, and, you know, the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So it was like, it, what I, you know, the, what the Lord prepared there basically opens the door for more prayer, for that intense prayer, for that, like all of these weapons are there to open the door and prepare the way for us to have that, that uninterrupted fellowship or that communication with the Lord to receive instruction or whatever. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to burn incense to you. I was so excited, you know? And I just had like a, like, he just gave me like two or three pages of different people to pray for. And he, you know, and I said, okay, Lord. And I just had never really done this before. I just kind of always prayed according to, you know, what I know about the situation or whatever. So what do you want me to pray for, Lord? And he, you know, gave me some different words. And then I just asked for words by faith at random for each one. And just, they were just spot on for what the Lord was telling me. And I just thought that was so powerful, because it was, and I had so much faith, just like the prayer said, you know, like what Rayon was saying, when you're praying his will, you have his faith, and it's just, you know, it's just done. And you're just so, you know, you're praying in faith and all of that. So just kind of, that's a weapon of our warfare that we have to, you know, engage, you know, daily, so that we can be able to have that communion uninterrupted, and use those things daily or whatever. And, but that's just the start of it. You know, it's not like the end, you know, that, okay, now let me go about my day. That's the opening of the door, so you can have that more intense prayer and things like that.
Amen. That's correct. Thank you, Jesus. Have a personal relationship. You can hear God. You know, I want to go back to the Holy Spirit. Do you do any deliverance without baptism in the Holy Spirit? You probably would get thrown through a glass door or something, because they don't recognize you unless you do have the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And Jesus said in Luke 24:49, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Luke 10:19. This is a good one. This is one I always use. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the Holy Spirit is essential to do a spiritual warfare. That's a weapon that we can't deny anymore. Anybody else got another weapon? There's more. What about, yeah, go ahead, Julie. I'm fixing that one out, but I won't do
it right now. It goes back to the whole praying thing is, you know, yeah, starting to make sure that our sins are confessed before the Lord, making sure that our heart's right so that we can have power and be effective, yeah, in our prayers. You know, we really have to, we need to be doing that all the time, but, you know, the word says a couple, I don't know, two or three places to be praying unceasingly. You know, that we're constant in prayer, be praying unceasingly. And I think that's anytime you hear something, see something, discern something, that we're immediately taking those thoughts to the Lord, you know, if it's something to be praying about for that person or yourself or the circumstances or what's going on around you. So it's our prayer life is a constant thing. So I think we should always be, talking to the Lord and communicating with him from the time that we wake up in the morning to when we fall asleep. And, as a testimony tonight, Israel is like, and a lot of people, it's like the Lord speaks to us in dreams. He gives us counsel in the night and he speaks to us in our dreams. So he's always communicating with us. And we just need to be really attuned to what the Spirit is saying. We just need to be listening, constantly listening, and having our eyes single and our ears attentive to the Word and to what what God wants to say to us. That's part of the warfare too, is taking the thoughts. As Marilyn has said to me many times when we've been talking and praying, it's like we get a thought, it's like, now, is that the Lord? Would he say something like that, Or is that my flesh? Or is that just a liar somewhere, It's like, where is it coming from? What does it line up with the Word? And taking that thought captive to obedience, is it the Lord? Would he say that? Would I really hear him say that? Or is it just my flesh talking? Or something else? Anyhow, that's all I have.
Amen. Well, I'm glad you said that, because today when I got off of that tractor and told David he needs to get on it because I had to go back up and get the Word. And I asked for confirmation, and I got the confirmation. So, yeah, that's a good thing. I always ask for confirmation. Go ahead, Isaac.
I don't know that I have an exact answer, but what I can say is the manner in which we do warfare should be through love. I think there's real results with that. Chapter 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm becoming sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith. So to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And I really think that our motive and our in the way in which we go about warfare, whether for us, for others, because if you're doing warfare for yourself, it is for love for the brethren, because it's Christ in you. And that's what we all want to attain, right? Because everything that God did and every gift and every healing was through love. You know what I mean? And I know that Christianity in the past has got away from that and more to the essence of, well, let's look at this power, power, power. Well, that's great. But is it through love? Well, look at these miracles. It's awesome. But why are we doing these things, to meet the needs of the body? So I just say that because I did watch that video. I don't remember who posted it on Signal about the whole love thing. Oh, so such a good message. And I was just thinking about it. That's all.
Amen. Well, that's a good thought. That's probably one of the main thoughts there is love. That's what Jesus said. Go ahead, Theo.
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm with Isaac, same kind of idea. So many of them healed and cast out demons, but he said, I never knew you. So self-righteous isn't the only way to have spiritual warfare. You can do all those things and still be without.
Good point. That's a good point. I have a question for everybody. Is there anybody in here that doesn't like somebody in the fellowship? Raise your hand. Ben, are you raising your hand? I'm just messing with you, brother. I know you weren't trying to raise your hand.
No. I'm Michael. I love everybody. I don't like anybody.
Okay. Well, I love everybody. I do. I actually do. Thank you, Father. Okay. Yeah, love is primary. Go ahead, Ben. Did you have something you wanted to share? Your name, Ben?
Well, I put it in the chat because Isaac was talking about it, and that was it kind of like led into what Isaac was talking about. So, okay. I guess Isaac kind of took my what I was gonna say, but glory to God.
He stole your thunder, huh?
Yeah, he did.
Well, that's okay. You can get his next time. Praise God. All right. Anyone else? We were talking about prayer earlier. And what about the prayer of agreement? That's a mighty prayer. That's a mighty weapon, right, Tim? Matthew 18:19 says, this is Jesus talking. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth, where are we? We on earth. As touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. So if we come in agreement against the enemy, the enemy's on the run, right? That's a big one. That's a good one. The prayer of agreement. That's another good one. Okay. Anybody else? There's more. Yeah, Rian, go ahead.
Well, if you mentioned that, I was thinking of laying on of hands.
Yes.
Calling upon the elders.
Yep, that's another good one. That's part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, they go together.
They go together. Praise God.
The angels. Oh, Claire mentioned the angels, but I think we spoke about the angels earlier. I mean, they're the weapons of our warfare in that they obey the word and they act it out.
That's one I was fixing to bring up. You stole my thunder. Go ahead with the angels. The angels are great. Yeah, the angels are good. It says in Hebrews 1:14, I believe it is. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Then Psalm 91:11 says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Oh, and then we had this thing with the angels here a while back. Good gracious. They fixed the tractor. They fixed the plumbing. The angels are a great tool for us to utilize. Yeah, Andrew or Ben.
Well, I was just wondering, because seeing as the Holy Spirit has power, when you read that Acts 1:8 there, then the fruit of the Spirit would also give you weapons of warfare. Love never fails.
Yep.
And faith is in there too. So love, joy. You got all those blessings from God, which will bring you to rejoicing and happiness. And happiness can do lots for you. I know sometimes, Michael, we don't look that happy and you're trying to cheer us up. But the joy of the Lord is my strength, and it's there. And there's 9 joys there in Matthew chapter 5. And it's the Sermon on the Mount, and everyone has to familiarize himself with all those blessings that God gives you. And the last blessing is in Revelation 22:14. And I love that blessing. Blessed they that wash their robes, because this is the power of God that's washing them. Now, he's got the washing machine. You know, it's you might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word. And theirs shall be the authority over the tree of life. And this is the biggie, man. What a blessing this next one is. And they may enter by the gate into the city who deliver. And, you know, I just like Colossians 1:13 after that one. And who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his son, of his love. And you know, all the other, you know, self-control. Like, that's given. That's a fruit. Use your fruit. You know, use your fruit because it's the word of God. And all of that word of God is collates with this beautiful lamp that you have in your soul. That's where the lamp is. You know, go check it out in Hebrews 9. Your your menorah candle, your lamp is in your soul. It's a soul of light. And your table with the showbread is in that soul of yours. You got some bread. I just thought about hippies. They used to use money as bread, but that's not the riches that we have. The riches, again, are in the Sermon on the Mount, which is that which is written upon your heart. And so you got all these nine fruits of the Spirit. And I don't want to say that, you know, there's gifts of the Spirit. There's a lot of them too, you know, and they're all the power and every word of God. You know, like Israel had to be called four times, but it should be only once he has to say it, but I think he emphasized it because of the child. And, you know, even Samuel was addressed by the Lord and the prophet, the boy prophet. And I think, you know, Jesus always only did what his father said. And I believe that we're going to hear a lot more and do a lot more because he only did what the Father said, too. And we've got that Jesus living in us. So how can you expect for something that you're supposed to already have? Anyways, I just thinking aloud there, you know, imagining something that I just didn't know how to address that. So I'm just giving you what popped in my head. So the fruits of the Spirit are the power of God. You know, it's interesting in John 1, you'll go from word to life to light to that glory. And you know what keeps the lamp going? The anointing, the Holy Spirit keeps it on. He can turn it up and turn it down whenever he wants. And we need an extra vessel of oil to take with us. Because we have to be the wise. We have to be wise with our Lord.
Amen.
All those parables show you things. Five foolish, five wise. We need to be together. We need to be one body. We don't blaspheme God. We don't blaspheme Ephesians 4. We're one body. This is why we have to love each other. Because we're one body. And we know who that body is. We're one Spirit. We're one hope of the calling. We're with one Lord. One faith. One baptism. And one God and Father who's over all, in all, and through all. And you just, the love never fails. You know the love verses. I study some of them. They're real powerful. You know, there's, if any love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come and make our abode in him. That's backs up one God and Father over all, in all, and through all. It's kind of scary when you think about it. You get a Holy Spirit spooky. Anyway, Holy Ghost spooky. Praise God and glory to God. Like it's just amazing on how these things can all collate. All these single words in the scriptures mean so much, you know, so much. And like I said, that. In my dictionary, they translated church wrong. You know that means called out of the nations into the kingdom. It's not in my dictionary. They got kingdom wrong too, because I know the parable. I know when Jesus talked to the rich merchants with the kingdom. So it's within you. And when it happens, it's nigh you. I want to know what that nigh means, because I want it nigh me all the time. Praise God. That's the power of God's kingdom in you.
Yeah, Rayon, Claire.
I just was thinking of one of the weapons we have is the perfect blood. I've heard so many testimonies of people saying, I plead the blood of Jesus, or I pray the blood of Jesus. And for me, not coming from a culture where that was spoken of, like, it used to pretty much irritate me that someone would be so free with that, because it's so holy. But it is the most effective thing to say. I find, like, I just find it, there's nothing more perfect than the blood of Jesus.
Bingo.
There is nothing else required. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. And if we plead the blood, it's fine. It's done. It's so good. See you in heaven. Beautiful.
I can't wash away my sin. And nothing but the blood.
The blood of Jesus. That's the most powerful weapon we got right there, to plead the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus covers it all. It covers our salvation. It covers everything. Power in the power in the blood. Glory to God. That's the most powerful weapon we've got. We're redeemed by the blood. If it wasn't for the blood, we wouldn't be where we are today. Yeah. Oh, my. I'm so glad somebody finally brought it up. That's what I've been looking for. It's pleading the blood. Y'all remember, I don't know if y'all ever knew any old saints that would plead the blood over their children. I plead the blood over the children. I plead the blood. I plead the blood over my children. Protect them, Lord. I plead the blood. And send them out to school. When they come home, they brush the demons off of them from that had gathered on them while they were at school. Pleading the blood. Yeah. Lord of God. Yeah, go ahead. What's your name, Phil? Okay.
Yeah, when we were kids, my parents always taught us, when you are scared or you are alone or anything, just pray the blood of Jesus. That's all you have to say. That's it. Nothing else. The blood of Jesus. And yep. So many times growing up, when I would be visited by something heavy, where you could feel it, you can't see it, but you know there's something dark and foreboding next to you, and that's all you can do is just pray the blood of Jesus until it's gone. And it was usually at night when you're going to sleep, or in the middle of the night you wake up and there's nothing you can do except pray the blood of Jesus, and not much longer you're back in peace and going back to sleep. So praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Ditto.
Yeah, go ahead, Lana.
Oh, I was just saying ditto. Same thing here. I was taught this prayer. It was something along the lines of, in the name of Jesus and his mighty blood, I command you, Satan, to leave me alone. And I'd do that when I'd had nightmares, when I felt, you know, oppression during the night. And I'd just pray it. And I don't remember very often dwelling on the aftermath. But I think back, and often I would just fall asleep and there'd be peace and the fear would be gone and I just move on. I never gave it a lot of thought because I had no discernment, or I shouldn't say I didn't have discernment. I had discernment, but I had no knowledge of the spiritual realm. And so I just left it be, but it worked every time.
Power in the blood. Well, it's been a good evening. Once we got that one through, that's the big one, dude. That's a great big one. Thank you, Claire. Claire, do you mind giving that testimony of Andrea's?
Sure. I'll do it with joy.
Okay.
I just have to find it. Okay. So Michael's asked me to share this, so I'm not doing it out of my own strength. But this happened recently. So after we went through a trial of, you know, the faction and stuff earlier this year, I got to talking to Andrea about it, and I could tell she didn't really understand what was going on, because they left just before, like, the Lord really, in his providence, he took them out days before that stuff happened, like, in his mercy and in his will. Yeah, no, he didn't take them out. He took them away. Let me be very clear. He protected them, which is really wonderful. So anyway, I was talking to her about it and I could tell. So I sent her, what I'd done is I'd done a study on faction, and I just went onto UVM's website and typed in faction, and then got all the teachings that David's done over the years and just listened to them systematically and made notes and stuff, so that, you know, I'm never caught with my pants down on this again. And anyway, so I sent the one that made the most sense to me to Andrea, and I'll tell you which one. It's called Overcoming Faction to Be in the Bride. It's from 2016, the 10th of February. So I listened to that one and I highlighted that one. I sent it to her. So this is her reply, which is a testimony, which I want to, which Michael wants me to share, because she has shared this with Michael as well. So I'm going to read as I'm reading, as I'm Andrea, okay? After speaking to you yesterday and taking into account that I've been separating myself these past few months from people, the fact that they annoy me, I realized I have a factious spirit on me. Edwin even told me a few months ago he thinks I'm being factious. I thought he was bluffing. You even sent this teaching to me and I completely forgot about listening to it. But I sat this morning as I felt led to go into battle in a more audible way without waking up the household. I've struggled with prayer the past few weeks. I repented of my behavior to the Lord and cast the factious spirit out and away, lying filth that it is. And I felt so much lighter afterwards. My heart feels warm. Then after breakfast, that teaching came to mind and I started listening to it, and boom, a light bulb moment. I think that spirit was keeping me from listening to the teaching. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free and teaching me about this spirit. Thank you for sending me a sister that speaks truth to me. Praise God. And if I might pray for Andrea and Edwin. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your gracious mercy in bringing this beautiful family into your kingdom in your perfect way, in your perfect timing. And thank you for keeping them away from what was a particularly dire situation. Thank you for giving them their own trials and challenges to overcome. And Lord, I know that they've got a perfect scorecard with you, because you have given them such knowledge and faith and truth and love. And I'm so grateful for that, Lord. But Father, right now, in the authority that I have in Christ, I cast off the spirit of faction over that family in the name of Jesus. We come into agreement with Andrea and we tell that evil, filthy spirit to go off of her and Ed and the children and never to return. We pray the blood of Jesus over that family, the perfect blood that has once and for all delivered us out of the powers of darkness and into your glorious light, Father. We pray that distractions cease and desist over that family. We pray that they are going to have a revival within their household, Lord, and they're going to go from your strength to your strength, Lord, and they are going to run this race and not grow weary. And Father, at the right time, once you have built them up and they are so solid and secure in their foundation, which is Christ, you're going to send them friends and beautiful people that they can be a blessing to and who would be a blessing to them. Thank you, Father, for this family. Thank you for giving the grace to them and to us to have beautiful fellowship for 3.5 years. And it was almost to the day, Lord, that you took them out before the beast tried to do what it does best. So thank you, Father. I pray peace over that family in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for maturing all of them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that leads and guides all of them. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. That's a wonderful testimony.
Just to be clear, Michael, like, they were not they were not part of the faction here. That's not what we're saying. There was a that Tesmo is like a personal faction spirit for Andrea, right? They're not factious at all. Like, I'm just want to make it clear for everyone.
Okay. Praise God. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this family that you've done them just like you've done everybody else. You're cleaning us up, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Amen. It's all from God. All right. We still got about 4 minutes here. Anybody got any prayer requests? I do. Oof. I got one. Let's pray. Y'all gonna bleed with me? I'm gonna plead the blood. Glory to God. Lord, I lift up the evangelists over in the Middle East and Africa. And I thank you, Father, for your provisions upon them. I plead the blood on them. I thank you, Father, for confusing the JWs and the Catholics that are coming against them right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for scattering them to the four corners of the earth. In Jesus' name, we will praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for complete freedom to get the gospel out. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that people are coming to the gospel. Oh, it's just amazing. The multiplication is working over there. And we praise you for it, Lord. They've only known hate, fear, and all of that stuff, Lord. And now they're seeing the love of Christ. And that love is bringing them in by the droves, Father God. And we praise you, we glorify you for providing for everything that they need. For all the orphans, we thank you, Father, for food and shelter and clothes and teaching. For all of them. We thank you, Father, for multiplying the books to get out. And we praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for doing this for all of you being here. It's whenever they need something, it'll automatically be there. They'll look under the mattress and it'll be there. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We just praise you and glorify you for doing the things that we have prayed, Lord. And I thank you, Father, and I plead the blood over the leadership over there, too, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you've got your hand of protection all on them. And we praise you that your warrior angels surround them about the whole bunch of them. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. I praise you, Father, for doing that for these wonderful people. All right. Go ahead, Claire, Rios.
I would like agreement on prayer for certain children in this town. All the children, but specifically a boy that named Tyson. So a few weeks ago, because I don't think everyone knows, but a few weeks ago, my kids were led to distribute Bibles to some children that they've met at a skate park. No judgies. And so one of the kiddos, one of my daughters had a dream about two witches trying to stop my children from going into this boy's house. And they were completely faithful in the dream, my daughters, and just said, in the name of Jesus, you will die. And so the witches died and they went in and they got the Bible back for Tyson.
Everything in the house was destroyed.
Everything in the house was destroyed except the Bible. And they got the Bible and gave it to Tyson. So, and a teddy bear. Because, you know, so I'm going to pray, and if you will all agree with me. So, Lord, you warn us in dreams, and you give us encouragement in dreams, and you prophesy in dreams, Lord, and you show us the hidden things in dreams, and for that we are grateful, Lord, and it's all you, it's not us. And, Father, you've shown us that this little guy is being bound up by a terrible witchcraft, Lord. That day is done. It's finished. And we rebuke you, evil spirits of witchcraft, sorcery, pharmakia, Satanism, New Ageism, Buddhism, and all the isms that are mere schisms that seek to tear and destroy the perfect love of Christ. We rebuke you. We bind you and we lose the power of love over Tyson that is stronger than anything.
And his family.
And his family. And we plead the blood of Jesus over that family. And we bind up the spirits operating in that whole street, Lord. Father, I take back what the in the power and authority of Christ, what the years of the cankerworm have destroyed. And that street is called Hollywood. And I rebuke all perversion happening in that street. And we plead the blood of Jesus that hung on our holy wood on the cross 2,000 years ago so that we could have freedom. And I pray freedom for Tyson and that you would quicken his ability to read, Lord, so that he can open that Bible and it will flood him with truth and love that he's never known. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. He's reading his chapter already.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And then I have a personal request. If you can all just agree with me that whatever's on my finger is gone. There's nothing there. It's a perfect finger. I've been bought by the blood of Christ and nothing can harm me. So thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Your finger is healed. In Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? Well, Lord, we just thank you for an awesome time tonight. We thank you, Father, for placing your love in our heart for each other. The Lord placing in our hearts to pray for you something too as we go through our days. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, for this great happening that's fixed to happen. Get us ready, Lord. Place it in our hearts to press in more and more every day to you, Lord. And I thank you for that, putting that in our hearts, Lord. Not only that, Lord, to be led by your spirit in everything that we do. And I thank you, Father, that you are leading us in that direction. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to be with us, protect us, guide us, lead us until we meet again in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that nobody's going to have a problem with the internet the next time we come together. It's all going to be a good time. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, good night, y'all. See you.